This is John Walden. Welcome to our Bible study, and we're in the book of Jude, that little book and much neglected book, just before the book of the Revelation. A good preparation for the teaching of the Revelation also, because the Revelation tells us of the things that are going to happen following the coming of the Lord, while Jude tells us the condition of things just before the return of the Lord. He warns us about the apostasy, as we've been seeing. Now, I mentioned to you in one of our studies that there's a pattern that runs through the book of Jude. There are at least a dozen triplets, three things mentioned together. We had three classes of people in verses 5, 6, and 7. We had three sinners in verse 11. Now, there are three other men mentioned in this book, and while they're not mentioned together and not very much is said about them, it's certainly no accident that the Spirit of God has included the names of three Old Testament saints. That is, three men who believed God. We're going to look at them. The first one is in verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. And then in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now you've got all three names. They're mentioned in just the opposite order of their living. Adam was, of course, the first man. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam, and Moses lived some hundreds of years later. But they're mentioned in the other order, Moses, Enoch, and Adam. Let's say a little bit about this man, Moses, first of all. Moses was a lawgiver. Moses is an interesting picture of the law, as well as being the man through whom God gave the law. You see, Moses was born under sentence of death. Pharaoh had said that the boy babies of the children of Israel should be put to death. He was born under the sentence of death. He himself died for disobedience, because he refused to honor the Lord before the people. He died for his disobedience. He was 120 years of age, but his natural force was not abated and his eye was not dim. He was taken away for disobedience. Now, we're not critical of him. He was probably the greatest man in the Old Testament, but men fail. He was a redeemed man. He was redeemed by blood. The blood of the Lamb. You have this in the 12th of Exodus. He, like the rest of the children of Israel, went out of the land through the redemptive power and through the blood of the Lamb. He was a man of faith, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. He did two things. He refused certain things, and he chose certain things. And if you're going to amount to anything for God, you're going to have to learn to refuse some things and to choose other things. At the end of Moses' life, according to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 6, he was buried by the Lord himself, undoubtedly to prevent the children of Israel from falling into idolatry over his grave. He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and in Luke chapter 9, one of the three places where the Transfiguration is mentioned, we're told that he not only appeared there with Elias, but that they talked about the decease of the Lord Jesus, about the death of the Lord Jesus, which was to take place in a very short time thereafter. This was of great interest to Moses. Although Moses was used of God to give the law, we're told the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law could never save anyone. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law killeth. It is the Spirit that giveth life. If you're trying to keep the law for salvation, remember this. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Moses wasn't saved by the law. Moses failed. Moses sinned against God. Moses was saved, just as you and I are, by grace, through the death, burial, and resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus. So So there are some wonderful lessons to be learned from this man, Moses. We can't go into them all, but certainly there's the lesson of salvation, of redemption by blood. Then there's the lesson of a life of faith, for he's included in Hebrews 11 among the heroes of faith. He did a great many things, and he did them by faith, because he believed God. Then there's the lesson of discipline. Although he belonged to the Lord, and although the Lord took him home to heaven, still he had to suffer discipline when he was disobedient. Now, if you're God's child, you're God's child forever. But if you're a disobedient child, you'll have to be disciplined. You'll have to be corrected. This may be in a gentle way. It may have to be in a very severe way. Certainly we can learn a lesson from future glory, because Moses and Elias were there on the Mount of Transfiguration. So were Peter, James, and John. And although Moses and Elias did not live at the same time with each other, and certainly not with the apostles, they all knew each other. When we get to heaven, we're all going to know each other. That's certain. The second man mentioned is Enoch. He has a very short history. There are only 6 verses about this man in the whole of the Bible. And yet he was a man who had a wonderful history. His history is in 2 parts. The first part was before he knew the Lord, the first 65 years of his life. The last 300 years of his life, he walked with God. Now, 365 years sounds like a long time to live. Remember that this was before the flood, when the years of men ran into the 900s. Adam himself lived to be 930, and Enoch's son, Methuselah, and this was a mark of Enoch's faith when he named him this, because Methuselah means, at his death it shall come. And at the death of Methuselah, the flood came. Maybe this is why God allowed him to live on for 969 years. While Enoch had a short history, compared to the others of his day, he had a very wonderful history. For when his son was born, he began to walk with God. Now we're told very plainly that two cannot walk together except they be agreed. There is no way for you to have fellowship with God unless something has been done, first of all, about your sins. You can't ignore your sins. God requires that which is past. And when you acknowledge yourself as a sinner and receive Christ as Savior, then the way is open for you to walk with God. But if you're to continue to walk with God, you must continue to confess any sin that comes up in your life and keep things out of your life that will hinder fellowship with the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to walk with God. That means to go on well with Him. And of course, walking with God resulted in his speaking for God. And we have part of his message given here in verse 15. Enoch prophesied, in the middle of verse 14 says, he said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." He had a message. It was a message of judgment. He said exactly what needed to be said. He was a man who walked with God, and he spoke for God. And then he was taken to heaven without dying, which is a wonderful picture of our own translation, for we believe the Lord is going to come, and that some of us will go to heaven without dying. You find this in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we learn the lesson of conversion, of walking with God and witnessing for God, and of the blessed hope when we think about Enoch. Now, the third man mentioned was Adam. And you know, of course, the story of Adam, the first man created, and his fall. Adam is called the federal head of the race. That is, he was the beginning of this race, and we're all descended from him, and we're all like him. By nature, we have Adam's sinful nature. We also have inherited death from Adam. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, because that all have sinned. Now there's another Adam mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. The Lord Jesus himself is called the last Adam, the second man. And the Lord Jesus is the head of the race also. I'm just going to ask you, which race do you belong to? Are you still in the generation of Adam? Or are you in the generation of Christ? Have you been born again? The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And not only do we receive new life in the Lord Jesus, but we're going to receive a new body through the Lord Jesus. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, you have Christ contrasted with Adam. In Romans 5, the contrast is between the spiritual relationship with either Adam or Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, it is a physical relationship between either Adam or Christ. So, from these two federal heads, we learn that we receive either death or life, depending upon whether we remain as a child of Adam or become a child of God. We also learn the wonderful lesson of complete restoration for believers. For not only have we been transferred into a new family by the new birth, but one of these days we're going to have new bodies, bodies fashioned like unto his body of glory. We are of the earth, earthy, but we shall be of the heavenly when we have bodies like our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that God gave us these three men to picture for us these three lessons? If you're not a believer, do take the Lord Jesus right away. If you are, show by your life that you're walking with God. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. Again, we pray for those who are not saved, that they might come to Christ. And we pray for thy dear children, that we may live for thee, refuse the evil, and choose what will please thee. In the name of the Savior, amen.